Let it.
So this is kind of intimate this week, I say as I sit on your living room couch.
This is our first time being out of the studio in a while. You know, we're street cats again after getting used to the city life.
I'll tell you. I just hope I don't get feline AIDS.
It's very Flowers for Algernon. It's been like we've been
just a slow regression
embedded with this consciousness now, and now it's slowly being stripped away from us, and we're just like, what? Yeah.
But we get up and we try every day, even if our grasp on math is slowly leaving us.
It's tenuous at best. But with that said, welcome back to the OG recording studio, my apartment, for the newest Guantanamo Bay's podcast,
A Cuban Cousin Kiki.
I'm Brian Bogart.
And I'm Julian Goza.
How has your week been, Jules?
I feel like scattered and like vaguely hectic, but included in my list of obligations is finishing this book. Called Under the Volcano, which takes place in Mexico, and I'm going to Cancun this weekend. So I wanted like literature that would get me in the mood for Mexico.
You sound like a bored housewife. It's just like reading like a softcore romance novel and then trying to catch.
You know,
I figured
I'd go to the soup kitchen maybe Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
But
I'm not doing that. I'm going to Mexico.
Correct. So yeah, I feel like taken by like oddly mundane tasks, and they're not repetitious. They're not repetitive, and that's by design. You know, I like this wheeling and dealing freelance existence for now. I think I'm having to lean towards like alternative careers in order to sustain living in Southern California.
What are those alternate careers right now?
Like psychology.
Yeah.
And I know, and people are like, "You're gonna be a fucking psychologist," and I'm like, "Well, dude, like I've been through it." And hopefully I could bring whatever the fuck this is to the room.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of my like vague plan as of now. I'm just not looking forward to like fucking neurology shit. Like anatomy, ugh, who needs it? I'm like, let's do breath work.
They're like, actually, this is a very necessary component of your curriculum. You're just like, who needs it though? So what's been the reaction when you've told people you're thinking of getting into psychology?
Well, some will full outright be like, you're not going to... a psychology master's program. I'm like, well, fuck you.
Watch
You're
me.
Gonna love.
Yeah. It's like telling a kid they're not trans. Watch them. Watch
yeah,
them
exactly,
transition.
Exactly. Exactly. It's like calling the territory we're on Chumash when it's really Tonga territory.
Which you did last week.
I know. And then, of course, the second we stopped recording, I raced to Wikipedia and was like, what is the territory? Like, what tribes were here in Los Angeles? And it was a few, but Tonga's the only one I remember.
I don't know.
I think
they were
the most prevalent, but there I go spreading lies and mistruths again.
Wouldn't you like? I think it's worse to do a false land recognition than not do one at all. And that's my hot take for the week.
You mean like what I did last week?
Exactly.
Was, like, not kosher.
Exactly.
Because I know. Well, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
It always is. And in a way, that's kind of the theme of our podcast. Sometimes. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Sometimes the road to heaven is paved with bad intentions.
Yeah.
There's benevolent and malevolent actors out there in the world, and we just try to keep straight of what's what.
Yeah.
So,
and sometimes there's a road between totally different countries, only 90 miles long.
I know, and that road is the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, the Caribbean.
The Caribbean.
Let's
but
be specific.
That's part of that ocean.
Yeah. 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 But I just like the musicality of the word Caribbean.
I know. It is so, first of all, the way that all the vowels work together.
Yes.
My
synergy,
Brian,
I believe you call
I'm
it in your industry.
I'm partial to B sound like, bia, ba, 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 ba. That's so fun. It's so fun. Caribbean, right? Not Caribbean.
No. Unless it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's the only time.
100%, don't you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now that I'm trying to think of any time I've heard someone call it Pirates of the Caribbean. I think I've heard that before.
I feel like I switch
from
in and out.
Losers.
Yeah. Well, I'm half loser, so it explains why I switch in and out of it.
But your other half is Cuban. And that is why we are dissecting.
Pivot.
That's why we are dissecting news from the motherland. By the way, both of our dads are white. We're half white. They're not
Brian
losers.
Looks whiter.
Yeah, I look way whiter.
I'm the swarthy one. I'm the tall, dark.
I look
Ben Affleck to his Matt Damon.
That is true. I look whiter than most white people.
Yeah, because your coloring is so fair.
Yeah, and like, whatever. I'm white. But I just want to
but
say...
But you get, like, a really cool, like, red sailor beard, you know? Sure. Like, I just look at it, and I'm like, okay, go off, man.
I just want our dads to know, if they're listening, that we don't view our white halves as a loser half.
No, just the uglier side.
Yeah, yeah. And that's for the rest of the world to view it as. Not us personally. So with that said, we like to talk about news from the motherland, which is news from the island nation of Cuba, our mother's land. You have a news story for us, Jules?
Yeah, I do. It's funny.
I was watching you be shockingly lax about the whole thing. I was like, isn't it? Aren't you up? And you're just like sitting on the couch all blasé. I know. Is he going to recite this from memory?
This is what happens when we don't have a producer. I'm like, pull it up. Trina?
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 Crows. Buzzards just circling us. Like Trina was a mirage the whole time.
Bitch, don't even put that in my head because I'm like, what's to stop that from not being the truth? And I question reality, just like any good American.
Well, good thing you're going to be a psychologist.
I mean, reality is worth questioning, right? But also worth accepting. Okay, so let's
you
go
can't
back.
Just use random platitudes that aren't even platitudes, just words out of nowhere.
Can I use them if I believe them?
Sure, just tell the story. Go.
Okay, so Western creditors and Cuba pledged to salvage Cuba's debt deal. And this was reported in U.S. News and World Report.
And so, Reuters. I see it on Reuters. So reported through a few outlets. But yeah, go
can
ahead.
I give you can I play the hits?
Yeah, play
so
the hits.
This is the fourth consecutive year that the country is expected to default on payments. So 14 creditors, mm-hmm. all grouped in the Paris group, went to Cuba to salvage an agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And Foreign Investment and Cooperation Minister... Ricardo Cabrizas blamed the debt on tough new sanctions imposed by the U.S., surprise, on top of the 60-year embargo and pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2015, the same group of creditors actually forgave $8.5 billion of the $11.1 billion, which Cuba defaulted on way back in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, that's... I'm like, shit, maybe I could be a sovereign country and they just bail me out.
I mean, that's why... you know, like ever since, and of course we're talking about countries here, but when companies were ruled to like have the same rights as people.
Citizens United?
Yeah, exactly.
Still sends chills down my spine.
I know. And this is almost kind of like, but what you said just kind of evoked that in my mind.
Like when I hear Citizens United, I picture like a prison tattoo and like calligraphy, like across like a really burly, scary chest.
Yeah, yeah.
On a criminal. Because that's what they are.
And he's white.
Not necessarily. But yeah, I am picturing sort of a beefed up Ed Norton from American History X.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Namaste.
Weird, yeah.
But since then, so yes, when Cuba agreed to pay the remainder in annual installments, mm-hmm. the remainder of that $3
billion,
mm-hmm. or I suppose a little less, through 2033. Since then, the country's exchange earnings used to import goods and pay debt have fallen by more than 50%. Since the deal was signed.
Now, is the United States in this group of Western creditors? I know it said a Paris group.
I don't think
we've
so.
Been in the, I mean, probably not just because...
Oh, you know what? I have it right here in this link that I didn't open.
Just because the U.S. obviously expressly does not do any business with Cuba. Obviously, some Western countries
yeah,
do.
Which is why they're in such horrible debt.
Yeah. That's why I think like the Western creditors are just like, yo, we know our biggest ally has just been giving it to you raw for 50 years. You can go ahead and...
Yeah, let's give a shout out to the 22-member Paris Club, which comprises Australia, Austria, mm-hmm. Belgium. I called it the Belgian dip.
Are we gonna name all 22 countries?
No.
These are just
the important ones.
A land recognition of the Western countries.
Yeah, totally. The Paris Club, it must be said.
The Paris Club 6. Yeah. It sounds like some kind of charged like courtroom drama.
But you're right. They're mostly, the countries listed here are mostly European. You know, Denmark, Finland, France, Britain, Italy, Japan, which is European in a sense.
It's Asia's Europe.
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah. I feel like it's like the equivalent of France a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean that more of like in terms of their allegiance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Netherlands, Spain, Sweden, and Switzerland.
Yeah. That's cool.
Which, out of way, Switzerland to finally fucking stand yeah. for something. Besides
but
money.
No. If anything, this proves that Switzerland's all about money because they're like, we'll do business with anyone. We don't give a fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not so neutral. I don't know. If it's that old saying, if you're if there's a dinner of 10 people and one of them's a Nazi, then you're sitting at a room with 10 Nazis.
What?
There's an old saying. It's like a German saying.
Okay.
If there's a group of 10 people at dinner and one of them is a Nazi.
Why would all 10 be Nazis?
Because they're not doing anything to stop.
Oh, got it.
Exactly. And Switzerland kind of like...
Let's just say they're sitting at the table, honey.
Yeah, let's just say they were splitting. I saw that bitch split soup with Germany, okay? And they let Germany pick up the tab.
So you think this is a deal that's kind of attracting sharks? And that's kind of my question.
In global finance, sharks? No. I mean, of course.
I'm barely piecing this stuff together.
Every person who's in on this deal has their degree in sharkism.
So what are the ramifications if Cuba doesn't pay this back by 2033?
I mean, clearly nothing. They've been doing this for 4 years already.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Yeah. So is this your
Let's
gateway?
Find an island and call it Guantanamo Bay.
I was about to say, is this your way of like being like, so I don't need to pay back my student debt? I feel like that's what you're about to get out of it. Yeah. But you don't have student debt. Rich little.
I don't plan on having any children, so I'm like, rack it up, baby. Who's going to pay for it? Who's going to pay for it? Pretty sure there are laws against getting my precious little nephew to pay my fucking outstanding credit card bills that I spent on furry Gucci slippers.
Dude, I'll bet right before you croak, they're going to change the laws to be like, since so many old gays are dying out and leaving this fancy free life.
We're going to seize their art coffee table books.
That their nephews inherited. Yeah, so just be ready.
I bought a painting, which I'm sure we've discussed on the podcast.
I don't know if we have.
It was a four-figure expenditure, because I believe
in
the artist.
Did not have the four figures to expend.
It's a beautiful image, and I remember my mom kind of giving me a hard time about it.
She wasn't the only one.
And I was like, no, I know, but...
But in this story,
she kind of caught me in a little bit of a piggly fib, because I was like, well, I'll just give it to my nephew, you know, he'll inherit it. And she was like, when are you gonna give it to him? What's your plan for that? I was like, when I die.
So she
did I stutter? Like, inherited, honey.
Did
Unless
you imply?
I'm like, you know, on my way out, then I'm like, here, come look, take this and this. I think that's cute when old people just like randomly give shit out to the family.
Yeah,
slowly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was...
No, did you imply that you were going to give it to him, like when you got it?
No, but I think that was her way of challenging me, being like, don't hide behind that as a reason why this is, like... But still, yeah. I'm like, I believe this could be an heirloom.
No, good challenge, Aunt Carmen. Keep his fucking feet to the coals, okay? Do not give him an inch.
Was,
he will take
was
a mile.
A feisty moment among many. That feisty little lady.
Well, you know what? I got my own surprise... News from the Motherland story?
Wait, but you don't want to go into this?
Okay, let's go into it more. But this,
I think it deserves a little bit more.
Okay. What do you think, listener? Sound off in the comments. Okay. So what do you want to know? Or
well, like,
are
you
about?
Pro their debt being forgiven?
I mean, the truth is, too, like, this amount of debt is such a drop in the bucket. Like, at this point, it's $3 billion, which is, like, doesn't even move the needle in global finance.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is... So I don't know. Like I said, nothing's happened the last 40 years that they haven't paid it. The interest is racked up, and it seems like they've forgiven the interest and then some. Obviously, Western countries are kind of complicit in Cuba's economic turmoil, just by virtue of their alliance with the U.S. And so I think that probably gives them kind of a little bit more leeway, just to be more forgiving in general.
Yeah. That's kind of – it's kind of reparations of sorts.
Yeah, that's how I look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're a pro-reparation pod.
Oh, I am. But people get weird about the reparation word. And so I'm like, if I ever get elected, I just want to make a money – like a pit, just an empty pit that people could throw their white guilt money into. Hmm. We don't call it reparations. We call it a white guilt money pit. And I just want to throw
money.
That'd
work for our generation.
Yeah, it would.
Boomers would be like, fuck off and die.
Yeah. But we're just like, oh, it's like – it's cute and ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think BLM is too charged right now that people don't want to give money to it, or, you know, they...
Well, BLM specifically is a mess.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they, like, ended up buying houses in Topanga Canyon.
It's too
charged. Just miles from Malibu Beach.
It's too charged. The money pit is vague. It's just called the White Guilt Money Pit. We're planning to open up 2024.
Guys, our Venmo handle... will somehow lead to the White Guilt Money Pit Fund. Yeah, so be sure to pay there.
Yeah, if you could just put it in the memo, White Guilt Money Pit, when you send it to Guantanamo Bays on Instagram, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pro, you know, I'm like, yeah, I mean, they shouldn't be in debt to begin with, probably. I mean, I don't know. I'm all for, like,
What were they doing? You know, it's like that classic, like, you know, person who's like, oh, you know, I pay my bills on time, like, talking about, like, some homeless guy who, like...
Yeah, it's like, big deal, Jeff, you're an auditor.
Yeah. You went to school, you know, you had a chance to. A lot of these people did not, like, Givo's never going to have a chance to pay this debt back.
Right.
The fact that this loan happened in the 80s meant that they were, like, maybe potentially hopeful that an embargo end could happen, you know?
That's a bummer.
Yeah, I know, right? They've been teasing this embargo. But the thing is, Cuba is not a priority of any U.S. administration. So it just keeps, you know, they keep kicking the can. They keep kicking the can because it can be really charged when you talk about Cuba, but it's just not a political priority. So they just keep
status Well, not quo. To mention, like, I think, to be honest, most Cubans... not necessarily in our family, but like in the States, lean more conservative anyway. So if you would assume it's the liberals, like I feel like Obama probably started out with big plans for Cuba and then just slowly kind of had to make a lot of
concessions. He sure talked a big game.
Because you need Florida.
Exactly.
Let's be real.
Although being anti-communist is a really good way of succeeding in Florida, you know? That's one of their hits.
Which is totally where we would run when we finally do our joint...
campaign. When we have our joint campaign, Bogart Goza on the same ticket.
Bogos, I don't know.
Bogoza. We'd have such a cute running mate nickname.
Yeah.
Bogoza 24. Do you want to hear this next news story
now? I'm not ready to run, though, not 2024.
What needs to happen before you're ready to run?
Increase my listenership, win an Oscar, write a book.
All right. Now you got a checklist going. Trina?
She's not here.
Should we get into the next one?
Shall we? I think we should.
Okay. Did we hit all the points that you wanted to hit?
I guess it's such a just technocratic basic-ass headline that I don't know what I expected. You know, it's hard to lead from the heart on this one.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, yes. Sounds very good indeed.
But I think you also kind of wanted to bring up the idea that this is, to some degree, like some form of reparations.
Yeah.
Like some economic.
And that, like, I would if I could.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you're in an economic position where you can forgive $8 billion, you know, that's owed to you, you know, you're probably doing fine.
But we're also talking about this like it's condition free. And who knows?
There's always strings attached. Once again, these are creditors. You know, these are not. It wasn't like buddy nations.
It's a predatorial industry.
Yeah, but.
By design.
Right. But, you know, no matter what, debt forgiven is debt forgiven, and I guess you'll be happy with that.
Go off.
And
then, you sounding Catholic. You sounding Catholic like me, boy.
I sure could use a confessional.
Well, we could stop recording. We could talk about it right now if you want.
No. We're going to move on. I shall confess into the microphone. Your second story. Story 2B. Story 1B of News from the Motherland.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Cuba, from The Guardian, Cuba uncovers human trafficking ring recruiting for Russia's war in Ukraine. Havana says it is dismantling a network seeking to recruit Cubans as mercenaries as Moscow attempts to boost its forces. What are your thoughts just based on that headline, Julian?
I don't know if it's like the right adage or whatever, but like shit rises to the top. What I mean by that is like, and we do it all the time. The CIA intentionally will do this is like, there are voids, you know, that open up in the face of like either a disenfranchised country. Yeah. Pretty much short. Yeah. To put it shortly, like if it's a disenfranchised country, you know, it's like, it opens up voids for like ancillary mischievous types. Mm-hmm. To come in and like kind of wreck the shop and try to profit off of it. We do it all the time.
And this is an ally, right? Like Russia is like one of Cuba's
culturally. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Culturally, politically, like Cuba, like Russia has, Cuba has fought in Russian proxy wars in Africa in the 80s, you know, 70s or 80s. So, I mean, this is a military, political, strategic alliance and always has been. that was also, you know, put on the back burner after the Soviet Union collapsed. But they remained friendly, just, you know, there was less kind of stuff to get into after the Soviet Union collapsed. So that obviously continued to kind of maim Cuba. But yeah, you know, when your own ally is like, I mean, just imagine, that'd be like, I don't know, finding out that, you know, Canada was like running some kind of ring to like, you know, recruit Americans into like a war Israel. That they're fighting. Yeah, yeah. Or, yeah, exactly. It's like Israel starting a ring to like recruit and like combat missions against Palestine, you know?
Well, I don't know if you could draw that parallel because, again, like Cuba doesn't have presumably a very strong security apparatus, relatively speaking.
No.
So, you're right. As I say, these voids open up for mischief and.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently this ring has been targeting Cubans living in Cuba and Cubans living in Russia too. It's very vague. It's like, what is the ring? It's probably something on some various like social media channels that, and they're like advertising like, hey, show up here and blah, blah, blah will happen. And then as soon as they show up, they're like, you are an army now, comrade. And then it's just, you know, into the meat grinder.
Wow. Cause human trafficking, I would assume is like, not consensual necessarily, but in this case, it's like people are opting to fight for the army, right? Or are they like being kidnapped?
Well, I mean, the conscription, you know, conscription, fancy word for being drafted. The conscription methods are becoming increasingly aggressive on both sides as both armies are like desperate for, you know, fresh meat. Mm-hmm. But here's a quote from the Cuban ministers. The Cuban foreign ministry said that authorities working to neutralize and dismantle the network. They said the Ministry of the Interior is working on the neutralization and dismantling of a human trafficking network that operates from Russia to incorporate Cuban citizens living there. And even some from Cuba into the military forces participating in war operations in Ukraine, the Cuban ministry said. Imagine saying that about an ally. Just imagine being like, oh, we had to shut down this fucked up thing our ally is doing to, you know, recruit our citizens to go die overseas in like a very unceremonious way. So
yeah, that's why I think Canada would put the kibosh on it very early on.
No, and Canada's a bad example because they're not really like, you know, invading countries, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Canada's bad. But Israel's kind of perfect because, you know, there's a lot of combat operations happening in and around Israel.
Yeah.
You know. So
I mean, I didn't pull that example out of my ass, Brian.
No, you didn't.
I know some about geopolitics.
Yeah, and you fucking nailed it. So
thank you so much.
While the West is forgiving debt, the East is trying to recruit Cubans from under, you know, Cuba.
I feel like Chris Crocker. Remember, he was the gay that was like, leave Britney alone.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm like, just leave this bitch alone.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
Lift the embargo and leave her alone.
Yeah, what's the worst that could happen?
Like, also, why are you recruiting, as you said, fresh meat? Like, this is, come on, didn't Daddy Obama show us, teach us anything? This is the age of drone strikes, Heaney.
Yeah.
Why are we sending actual people? I don't know.
Russia's like, I mean, we could, but their air defense systems are too good. It's like, well.
Oh, yeah. Because of Elon, apparently.
Well, Starlink, you know, is being used for comms, but.
Did you read that Ronan Farrow expose, his fucking article on Elon Musk?
No.
And how he could very, like, directly intervene.
Yeah, but I've always Ukrainian known that.
Oh, well, but, cool, Brian.
Well, not like I'm special, but like Starlink has played an integral role to the whole.
It took me Frank Sinatra and Mia Farrow's love child, who's not Woody Allen's legitimate son, to tell me.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to consider.
I was like, source. I guess he is gay. He's not a very good one.
But that's, of course, that's who you would hear it from.
You know, totally, you just gotta consider. Totally. I mean, that Weinstein, as you know, that article slaps, dude. That's like an iconic piece of journalism.
The article closed with communist-run Cuba, traditionally a close ally of Russia, has previously criticized the West for provoking the war in Ukraine, while its president, Miguel Diaz-Canel, said Russia enjoys Cuba's unconditional support in its clash with the West. So this is what they'd said about it. I just wonder what their updated logline would be. I'm sure they're still very...
Wait, so the president came out saying, like, but we still want to align ourselves sooner with the East than with the West.
Well, this statement, I believe, came before this trafficking ring was busted. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a hand in it, but who am I to speculate?
Right. I mean, there's...
From all the way over here.
But Russia got its hand caught in the cookie jar, you know, in this case. I was like, what's the Russian equivalent of, oh? Like, in Spanish, it's very clear, like, I...
I don't know. I don't know enough about that world, that vibe.
Yet. Snow. But, yeah, so they criticized the West for provoking the war in Ukraine, but I don't know. You know, once again, I'm like, selfishly like, come on, Cuba, like, hang out with the West a little bit, and we'll see.
I mean, I'd agree with that, though. Of course we provoked the war in the Ukraine. In Ukraine, excuse me.
Based on?
Well, just militarizing any... You know I'm, like, so not an interventionalist with that stuff.
Yeah.
Unless it's forgiving debt. Then I'm like, all right, let's go in there and have a few meetings. But, like, I'm not interested in, like, fucking... Haven't we learned anything? Like, Al-Qaeda started because we fucking armed them. So, similarly, who's to say that this won't somehow have some sort of backlash later on down the road?
I think a lot of people, like, project that as a possibility.
Like a backlash in Cuba about Russia. Totally.
Oh, well, just like backlash in Ukraine. Like, we make Ukraine modern Al-Qaeda.
Right.
Like people have projected that as a possibility. Certainly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Uh-uh.
Shit happens. You just...
I'd still invent all of this, like, militaristic, scary fucking technology and stuff, but I'd keep it for myself. And I wouldn't tell anyone.
There's plenty of people who are doing that, so don't worry. There's plenty of people stashing weapons and protecting themselves.
Can't wait.
Yeah, exactly. When the earth runs dry,
The Purge, when it's the Purge up in this bitch?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I told you, I'm going to play Traviata on my record player, make a nice bolognese, and...
That's nice.
Drink, have a bottle of Chianti, and then get in the bathtub and...
And have that moment to realize, hello. Like, man, we really did have it all, didn't we?
Yeah. And then take a shotgun to my face.
That's romantic. So that's news from the motherland. Kind of an extended one.
Yeah. Yeah, you started to see my eyes glaze over. I mean, I may know a bit about geopolitics, but after a while, I'm like, when are we talking about cultural, you know, pop culture?
I kept trying to segue, but you're like, no, Brian, pick the meat off this bone. I want you to bore me to death.
Well, I do like that we respect our title.
Yeah.
But now I guess let's have a little, let's have a kiki. Let's
okay.
Have an actual fucking kiki.
Do you want to go to a place that I made up? And that
that you did not make this place up.
What, the world according to Jules?
That's the kind of world I want to live in. Well, how can I make it up?
I made up this segment. I'm giving you this platform to shine. And here we go. Because in this segment, I read Julian a headline. And he gives me his completely unfiltered...
But never unadulterated...
response. Do you accept the mission?
I do.
Okay. Your first story, your first headline... Burning Man revelers begin exodus after flooding left tens of thousands stranded in the Nevada desert. Your thoughts?
Everyone thought this was a moment of schadenfreude, which, as we've explained to many people who we've used this with, like, that's taking pleasure at others' misfortune, because Burning Man apparently has, like, this big tech, you know, they're just, like, these Silicon Valley types that are, like, really loathsome and, like, but... I've never been, but I also believe in some of the principles of it, even though, God, I'd hate to barter. Like, what would I make? You know, like, I guess, like, little turquoise bracelets, and bitch, I would hoard water. And driving out of there would be a pain. I have no interest in going, but I also think there's something about it that, like, in theory, the romanticist in me and, like, the faithful person in me sees the poetry and beauty of it. But again, I've never been. And also, of course, it's like passe and like kind of gross. So.
Time. I think when Jeff Bezos joined, that's really when it jumped the shark.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw
In fact, Zoe. I think I stopped going to Coachella before he went. I hope.
Oh, really? I think it was Zoe Kravitz. And I'm pretty sure, she was on Hot Ones. And she's a big burner. Of course.
She could be a burner.
Yeah. She earned her burner stripes.
She earned her burn.
Yeah. She earned her burn for sure. And then she was like criticizing Jeff Bezos. And I didn't know that he'd gone or that it was like this moment that happened. But that's when I was like, oh yeah, Burning Man jumped the shark.
Yeah. And I don't know the financial blah, blah, blah. I don't know the money stuff about Burning Man.
What kind of money stuff? Like how much money it makes or like.
Yeah. Like I don't know system. Where like, you know, who runs it, how they make money. Like
That's a good question.
I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. I don't care. I'm just so not about that life. I could barely go to like a 2-hour concert now.
But you do it so often. You say I can barely do this and that, but bitch, you were like at Beyonce last week. Like you're
that's why I have silver nail polish.
Yeah, how can you be like, I don't even go out, but you're out all the time.
No, I said I could barely do 2-hour shows.
Right. Okay.
At a time. Mm-hmm. I could do them 4 to 5 times a week, but no more than 2 hours.
At a time.
I gotta go home.
But you can squeeze 10 hours of concert time out of you in any given week, is what you're saying.
Maybe. I don't know why, but that's that we're losing. I mean, in the world according to Jules, you're constantly seeking out stimulating experiences, because if you stop running, you don't know what'll face you.
Your next headline. Ready?
That timing was impeccable.
I was like, I have nothing more to add.
Yeah, I'm fucking ready. We gotta move.
Yeah, we do. You do. Straighten up your posture. Come on. We're in this.
I was slowly slumping, huh?
Oh, yeah. You turned into a puddle.
See, and the more I talked about, like, oh, I just got this painful back and everything.
Yeah, like, I'm just like, yeah, you're contorting
yourself.
Looks
like a character on the fucking Candyland board.
Okay. This one is a little sad, but steeped in different levels of tragedy. Pilot dies in gender reveal stunt. The pilot flying a plane in a gender reveal stunt has died after the aircraft crashed in front of a sign reading, "Oh, baby, it was a girl." Your thoughts?
I have mixed feelings about gender reveal parties. You know which one really pissed me off? There was a gender reveal party where they dyed the water, which is fucking insane.
Yeah, it was like in Brazil, right?
Well, remember when he got me started about microplastics last week in the water? Like, I feel that way about like just weird artificial dye and shit. But
that's like your Monsanto GMO.
But I get so excited when I figure out the gender of a baby.
Really?
And I don't think that's reinforcing the binary. Like, it's not saying that I don't think the baby should have the choice to be what they want to be when they're ready to be it.
Good recovery.
Well, no, it's true. So, yeah, of course someone died, though, because, like, it shouldn't be an event. It should be something that's shared among, like, a close circle of your friends and maybe an Instagram story to all your followers.
It just shouldn't be a social media flex.
At best.
You just disagreed, though. Or I guess you're just talking about, like, you know, you should post on Instagram. But maybe, like, post the gender, not, like, this whole elaborate event. Or do you like the event of it? Do you like the party?
Also, no. Aren't you already having a fucking baby shower?
Right.
So, yeah. Freeloaders, all you heteronormative trad folk.
No, I do feel like gender reveals were just like kind of shoehorned into this baby industry just to like make more money.
Ugh.
You know, for more pink and blue powder and stuff, like whatever.
I absolutely love this friend, but he had a PS3 on his wedding registry. Not a PS3, like whatever the new ones are, Brian.
Okay,
PS5.
Okay. I was about to say.
You were like, ooh, retro. That probably goes for quite a bit. But I was like, how is this going to help your family life, you know?
Oh, I could think of how.
And like, how will having this giant elaborate party revealing the gender of your baby ensure that, I don't know, because I assume most of these people are like also doing it in a way to make such a deal of the gender binary. Maybe. Maybe I only think it's like an aggressive act because of the waterfall.
Right.
Being dyed blue.
Right. Yeah, there might be a little bit of conflation. I feel like you are more likely to be a little bit more fascist of the gender binary if you're like, love a gender reveal party like a little too much. If I think the harder you go at a gender reveal party, the more
you're trying to enforce the binary,
or just the less you're gonna have like they them friends, right? The less you're gonna have like non-binary friends.
That's true. Yeah, it's kind of a litmus,
right? Yeah,
yeah. And the more elaborate it is,
I'm sure there are plenty of people who have gender reveals who are loving and tolerant of everybody. But if you're one of those 0.1% of gender reveal people, you're probably a fucking asshole.
So how did the pilot die?
A wing, apparently, like mid-flight. I think it was when he had like released the pink powder everywhere. The kind of sad part is
they weren't on board.
No.
Or else this would be
everyone's
national
at a party.
News,
they hired this pilot. The pilot, like the wing, fell off the plane, and then literally the plane fucking crashes. And I think only the camera person really sees that it crashed, and they turn around and everyone's just like, oh my God, yay. So it's like,
girl, you got fireworks too.
Oh no. God.
I mean, of course, it's very literary, too. That's not lost on me.
No, that's the thing.
It's like the spirit of the baby, like, enters the dead pilot's body. You know?
Yeah, no, or the pilot.
There's a weird transference.
No, the baby is going to be the pilot now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's reincarnated as that baby. I think that's the least that family can do is raise that pilot now.
Spooky.
There wasn't my favorite murder.
She just loves airplanes.
There was, like, a little kid who, you know, claimed to be a World War II veteran. He was, like, a pilot in Japan. And apparently could recall some really intimate details and that kind of thing. That whole creepy kid thing where, you know, past lives and stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, I think Gus Van Sant made a movie about this.
Oh, really?
I think so. It was, and it was like a big national news story.
When this kid was, yeah, he was like interviewed on 2020, I believe. And all
really?
That
when
yeah.
was this?
This would have been like maybe 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago.
That recently?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And, you know, this guy's sister met the kid. She was like an older woman now, but met the kid and some of his old army buddies and all that stuff. Yeah. Do you, for all, like, whatever I believe or don't believe in the supernatural, past lives, like, totally on board with.
Yeah.
Reincarnation in general. I kind of generally accept that more than...
Yeah, I can't fully conceptualize it, but I think we're constantly a swirl of energy that shows up in different ways.
Yeah, yeah. Getting metaphysical in this bitch.
Every day of my life.
And those are your two stories for The World According to Jules.
Bye-bye, World According to Jules.
How to know you.
It just like floats in a bubble, like Glinda the Good Witch.
Bye, guys. I'm going home now. Take good care of each other.
He is aging at an exponential rate. Yeah. we have fun here. We also have fun in the next segment,
which is Boogie Boogie Bum Bum. Boogie 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 Bum Bum. What happens in Boogie Boogie Bum Bum, Jules?
What happens in Boogie Boogie Bum Bum is I read you, Brian Bogart. Mm-hmm. And also known as Bogey among certain circles.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
And we're referencing Beady Beady Bum Bum by Selena. You get it. I read Brian a headline. And Brian has to think of a song that the headline reminds him of. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the headline.
Okay.
The Great British Baking Show mm-hmm. will no longer have any national themes.
I love this headline. Because I do like Great British Bake Off.
Oh, it's great.
Watch with Hong. And, you know, these country themes pop up. And I literally told her last time we were watching it together, I was like, they only get away with this because it's such a cuddly show. I was like, you know, this is literally a theme talking about, you know, if you want to be ugly about it, you're going to say stereotypes. If you want to be positive about it, you'll say culture, right? So it's like they take these countries and reduce them to like, themes on cakes. And I told Hong, I was like, this is kind of wild that they still do this day and age. Just because of the landscape.
I thought it was like specifically British desserts. But I guess that's every week.
right. No. They'll be like, today we're going to Jamaica. And it's just like, yikes, you know.
Well, this kind of reminds me of the whole Trader Joe's debacle when people wanted to get rid of like Trader Jose. And like, you know, if it's Mexican food, it's called Trader Jose. And
I think that's great.
I think it's so fun. And yeah. I love celebrating different...
Latinos like that shit, man.
Oh, for sure.
Like, what Latino was complaining about that?
When I was in, like, the second
grade... The three annoying ones?
When I was, like, in the second grade, I petitioned the principal of my elementary school to have flags from all around the world mm-hmm. in our hallway.
That's gorgeous.
I know.
What a gorgeous little boy you were.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah, once again, I feel like it's an overcorrection, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, but I understand just given the land. I understand why. Like,
well, sure.
I'm not watching it bothered, right?
I'm less cynical than you, and I understand why they're doing
all it. All white cis male of me watches it unbothered. But I was like, man, it's kind of crazy that they're doing this just knowing what I know about what the landscape is. And ideally, you want to live in a world where we could just do that and people wouldn't bat an eye or they wouldn't care.
I've always felt, too, that...
Or they
like,
would feel celebrated.
And I would and I felt, too, that the diversity is... already like positively enforced through the casting.
They do a great job casting.
Totally.
Always very diverse.
So I'm like, guys, you're fine. Yeah. So long as you're like elevating voices, you know.
Which you do.
Which they do. Elevating hands that make delicious
things. And a lot of times there'll be someone of a certain nationality that's their country and they're excited. Like they're not insulted by it. So you know, they're like, oh, I get to do this part of my culture and, you know, show it off. And like, yeah. Once again, I would be thrilled. Someone's like, we're doing Cuba today, or Cuba, because that's, you know, British people when it ends.
Sure, they talk funny.
Yeah.
I have my song.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you know Ice Cream by New Young Pony Club? Once again, I'm like pulling out like a weird one from like 2008.
Right. And it's like these kind of drag, these like drag songs almost.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like it's more like Brooklyn vibes. Like, you know, it's kind like of like
crumping. There's a little crumping to it.
No, I'm thinking more like post Yeah Yeah Yeahs and like that whole era.
Okay.
There's a good documentary about that whole movement in Brooklyn called Meet Me in the Bathroom. But the reason why I chose that song is because, and again, that's the cynical part of my brain, but they're like, I could give you what you want. We could get rid of the national, you know, it's like, let's bend our knee.
They bent the knee.
To the opinion of the internet. But also they say,
you're only supposed to bend your knee to whoever God says you're supposed to. But, but go ahead.
But they also say, I could make your heart beat short. I could make you ice cream. We could be a sweet team. And hello, they're making desserts and pastries. So I'm brilliant. And that's why I chose that song.
Good job. Good job. I have my song. You ready?
Yes.
All right. I think we all know this one. It's connected to my headset. Here we go. All right, we know the song. I was trying to like find the chorus.
Turning
but we know
Japanese.
The song. Turning Japanese.
From the seminal Chris Farley film Beverly Hills Ninja.
Yes, yes. And like Country Week in Great British Bake Off, probably completely well-intentioned, probably totally harmless, but just not something you would make if you were going to do it today. So Great British Bake Off's been around a while where it was a little bit more couth to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're adjusting. This song came out in the 80s. You just, and even if this is like, you might even say it's like reverent of Japanese culture, right? It doesn't seem to be speaking negatively about it, I'm guessing. I've heard in elementary school, there was a rumor that that song is about masturbating.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're like doing like a karate chop or something? I don't get it.
Because like you're jerking off and like.
Oh, I've got your picture.
Well, and then I don't even want to say this part, but like the face you make.
Oh, the O face.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I'd love if it had
in which
had
case
a
it
deeper
would be,
meaning.
It would be uncouth if that was the intention of this
song. Yeah. There's so many examples of songs that are like specifically about a culture that like none of the writers have ever, you know,
yeah,
can only dream of being to.
They just want to
make Africa
this
by Toto.
Right. Although, you know, that song's revered. Like that's kind of universally liked.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad because it's like now tone deaf.
Right. But even then, is it, you know, I bless the rains. I mean, a white
guy. That's what people freak out retroactively about, like, groupies and stuff. Like, yeah. Bret Michaels dated a 16-year-old when he was 22. And I'm like, bitch, it was, like, the late 70s, 80s. Like, it was just, you have to see it through a different framework. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's a power dynamic there, and that's a whole other essay. But
we're going to do this essay today.
So, yeah, Great British Bake Off. You know what? I'm always going to fucking watch it, regardless of whether they get rid of Trader Jose and just keep the Trader Joe.
All right. Are you ready for your final segment?
I am. Do you remember how we agreed to introduce this?
Beep, beep. It's the gay item of the week. Toot, toot.
So Brian asked me to bring in a gay item of the week when we first started recording, and I thought he meant a physical item because I'm a dumbass. Yeah. And he said, no, I meant a news item. So now I bring in both. I'll start with a physical item. The gay physical item of the week is this lavender yoga mat that
what
Brian owns.
I am the owner of the gay item of the week. Did you know what you were bringing, or did you just look in the corner of the room?
I knew what I was bringing, but I didn't have time after I got my car serviced all the way in Pasadena to stop at my house to get it.
Go ahead.
So then I looked. I was like, what can it be this week if I can't have that actual thing that I'm going to bring next week when I'm prepared and have time? And I looked over and I saw this gorgeous Olivia Rodrigo shade
super gay yoga
of
mat.
Purple. It's so gay. It looks pretty expensive, Brian.
It's a good one.
I love that for you.
Thank you. Yeah, Hong found, you know, she knows the brands. And so she's like, there's this yoga mat, but I think right now it's only available in purple. I was like, I don't give a shit. That looks cool.
It's such a pretty color.
Yeah.
This is a very like February. It's kind of like an amethyst. It's like a shade of amethyst.
I'm a February baby.
Me too, bitch.
Yeah, I know. We're fucking
16
cousins.
Days apart.
We are 16 days apart.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
We should like go to a numerologist and figure out the significance of that.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Can you just like book an appointment? Do we go to numerologist.com or is there a directory in LA?
I would just start on Google Maps and literally type in like numerologist while I like hover over Studio City.
Like neurologist, like, you know, I need to hire one specifically.
I mean, they're here.
Yeah, they are.
But anyway, that's the gay physical item of the week. I would have been remiss had I not absolutely told our listeners how gorgeous this yoga mat
is. It
is.
We'll take a photo. We'll post it on the pod.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like in a taupe colored tote. Which is fantastic. It's fabulous, darling.
I'm honored that I own the gay item of the week. I did not know that that was going to happen. So fun surprise.
And it wasn't me being lazy because I think it was like actually a really smart last Hail Mary.
It's a good Hail Mary.
Thank you so much because that shit looks gay, bro.
You pull this out of your ass and it worked. It worked perfectly.
Thank you. Yeah,
you're welcome.
So now for the gay news item.
Yeah. What happened?
Well, them.us published in... article. It's more of an essay, and it brings up this concept of being demi-romantic.
Who published this?
Them.us.
Them.us.
It's
okay.
Just like a mainstream queer outlet.
I can already pick. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, maybe it's them.us, but I see what they're doing with them.us, and I think it's clever, and I love seeing it in my little search bar.
Yeah,
because it's just there's something about it that just feels so nice and
nice.
But so apparently being demi-romantic means if you, that you really need to get to know someone before you can fall for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You should like fall in love. Yeah, of course. Or is it saying like even like just like a sexual relationship or romantic? Like,
it has to be an emotional bond.
Yeah.
That they form before they can develop romantic feelings. I have friends like this.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us are like this.
I don't know. Maybe as I gotten older, obviously I haven't, played the field in 3 years.
Sure.
I'm like I don't even know what kind of person I would be single right now. Mm. You know, so I don't know what my, because I have what I need. Like I feel like I have everything I need with Hong.
Yeah. I just get annoyed by the addition of labels because I feel like we already have all the ones we need.
Right.
Like I thought this was called sapiosexual, but I guess that's more like intellect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, if I start quoting Gautier, some sapiosexual will be like, damn, wanna fuck.
Right. And, you know, a demi-romantic might find that fucking annoying. They're like, I don't care if you're smart, you know, do we vibe?
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, usually intelligence and vibing are on the same plane.
You think I could ever be a demi-romantic person?
Yeah, I think anyone's capable of kind of adjusting what makes them fall in love with someone else. Because we're also informed by love.
Right. Well, then in that case, I'm definitely a demi-romantic.
Because what I, yeah.
Like,
because
you could still, you know, be sexually active and be demi-romantic. With, like, multiple partners and be demi-romantic.
Technically, yeah. I mean, these are pretty soft sciences and soft pseudo-terms.
Oh,
being
dude,
around,
of course.
So you could write your own essay and like as an amendment to this one on why you can't have sex and be demi-romantic at the same time.
Yeah. And I do wonder what the like financial incentive is behind like mainstream media adding all of these labels that ultimately
to fucking put us in boxes, dude. But I'm not even kidding.
I mean, there's that weird sort of flip side to identity politics where it does just kind of box you in after a point.
Yeah, yeah. And there's you know, thankfully there's like a lot more sketches calling it out now because I feel like when you know, what we know is like wokeism, social justice, et cetera, that was really emerging in the mid 2010s. And when it was really starting to become mainstream, I was just like, don't we kind of see how this is like, in a way,
backfire.
Its own form of like, not just backfire, but like its own form of racism.
Right.
And then now there's more calling out. Like I've been watching sketches where, you know, it's kind of like making fun of the fact that like, a racist says this and a liberal says this. And it's like the same stuff about like, they need to be in their own communities and blah, blah, blah. And,
it's like selling a top in multiple colors.
Yeah, totally. It's the same fucking
top. It's almost like illusion of choice. It just comes down to messaging.
Total illusion.
And that's why the more labels they create, the more they could sell you shit. I mean, case in point, I remember sitting in Dodger Stadium and it was like, get your pride hat. And I turned to my brother and I was like, you know, you finally have a seat at the table when they're trying to sell you shit. Right. So who knows? Maybe they'll be hawking demi-romantic totes around New York City.
Yeah, this is definitely like a bait. They're just like kind of putting something out there in the water and seeing.
And look at this little fishy going straight for the hook.
Num 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 num
num num num num num num num.
Careful, Julian. Yeah, there's a hook on that bait. Yeah. That worm is deadly.
I love worms.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing this gorgeous lavender yoga mat.
And this is different because it's more of like a romantic ideology than like a race or something that you like, you know, technically you can kind of choose your romance style, even if like, you know, whether you can or can't is up for debate. But yeah, it's once again, it's just something that kind of stratifies and groups and boxes people. And just it's another thing.
Most people are demi-romantic. I don't know if anyone that's ever fallen in love just because of good dick.
Yeah, that's why this doesn't seem like a story to me. I just feel like it's an annoying thing for people to put in their dating profiles now that they're demi-romantic. So it's just another thing we could all cringe at.
Yeah, it's like, cool, you have preferences.
You like stuff about people? Holy fuck.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, you watch The Sopranos? Yeah. I think I'm going to love this guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well. That was like the fourth baby I birthed today. And one of them was servicing my car. The other was reading a lot of this book. Let me go, Brian. Take off the handcuffs.
All right. Where can people find you, Jules?
They could find me at Jules Goza on Instagram. That's JULZGOZA. I also have a show. It's a musical improv show next Friday. I believe that's the 17th. No, I lie. It's the 15th, and that's at the Impro in East Hollywood at, I believe, 8 p.m. Check my Insta. I'll have all the specifics. Also, our TikTok is GBPod. And our Instagram is Guantanamo Bay's Pod.
Yep. I'm Brian Bogart. Find me on Instagram at Brian.Bogart. It's Brian with an I. And I have a comedy show tonight at Genghis Cohen.
Oh, my God.
You won't be there because you missed it. But it was great. And we're going to be there once a month. It's going to be the first Wednesday of every month coming up. And we're just really excited and looking forward to doing banter regularly there. So thank you, Genghis Cohen. Oh, I have a featured set I'm doing tomorrow at Bruise Brothers. Once again, y'all aren't going to be there. I had a show last night in Redondo Beach.
Okay, now he's just flexing.
No, I'm just like,
I really... Any booking agents listening? Yeah. Brian and I also have a sketch we're trying to take around town. Yeah. And it's really lovely.
Yeah, we're funny together, if this podcast wasn't enough to convince you. But I'm Brian Bogart.
I'm Julian Goza.
Gracias y hasta la próxima.
Hasta luego.